The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I am Christy Matthews. Thank you for listening. Michelle, it's been like 2 weeks since we talked. Did you know that?
I know. And you know what? I texted you like sporadically, and then you must have been busy because I didn't get a text back until like next day, and it was like yes, no, and then I couldn't text you, and it was just like I feel like we're falling out of touch.
It was, I know, I still even owe you a text on that Instagram cake baker you sent me.
Oh, you've got that plate, it's fucking amazing.
She looks awesome.
Yeah.
Did one of your weddings have her as the baker?
No, she liked one of my photos on Instagram. And I was already following her, but I guess, I don't know. I don't know why I didn't know. And so I was like looking at her feed and I'm like, this chick is fucking amazing. Like her cakes are insane.
See, listeners, this is how connections are made. It's an Instagram like leads to some internet stalking, leads to us talking about you via text. And eventually maybe we'll reach out and she'll be on the podcast and we'll have a friender for life.
She's amazing. What's her, do you have it? What is it? I'm looking it up, but I can't. It's not coming.
Something about paper heart.
Hold on.
Paper heart patisserie.
Is that what it is? Wait a minute.
I actually don't know how to pronounce that word.
Yes. Paper heart patisserie. All one word on Instagram. She's out of the Sacramento area. You guys, her cakes are like, I don't know, a whole nother level. I'm just blown away. I'm just like the artistic, you know, and it's not cake or it's not cookie cutter. Pun and
as I said, cake or cutter.
Is that cake or cutter? Anyway, check that out on Instagram.
That's just a random promotional link we have for you.
Yeah. There you go.
We see it. We like it. We talk about it.
We talk about it.
That's how it works here at the Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Hell yeah.
Well, guess what? I think since the last time we talked, you've done a couple weddings. I attended a wedding. I fled out of a city in a rental car. But one thing I didn't tell you or show you or put on Facebook is that I also fell off my skateboard.
What the hell are you doing on a skateboard? That's awesome.
I know. I know. I was my boys are 4 and 7 and the youngest one has like no fear and he's just kind of good at like anything athletic or physical that he tries. Like his center of gravity right now is like he can do anything and he doesn't register physical pain really. So perfect for skateboarding, right?
Yeah.
And for my heart to like stop every day. So he sees our neighbor who's a fireman and like a cool dude on a skateboard. And my son Tom is like, I want to learn how to skateboard. And I was like, no, absolutely not. No, skateboards are like the number one cause for injury at ERs across the country. Like I'm a mom with stats. No, you're not going to skateboard. He gets on and within seconds, he's like zooming down our street, perfect balance, like arms out, like it's nothing. And I'm watching him like, oh shit, I'm doomed.
Yeah.
This is it.
You're screwed.
And so my older son wants to learn and he starts asking me and he's not as like it doesn't come as naturally, so I get another skateboard, another neighbor's skateboard, and the two of us are doing it together. I've never skateboarded before.
It's really hard.
Yeah, it's hard, and I've snowboarded and been terrible at it, and I would never surf, and like this is just not my bag. But I'm teaching him and we're both like this, we have the same, you know, right foot, left foot, which one's stronger, and I'm like, okay, push, push, glide, and no joke, through teaching my 7-year-old, I start to like get it, and it's like, and before long, I'm zooming up and down the street, and my 7-year-old is like, Mom, help me, come back. But I loved it so much. My neighbors were coming out. People were like, what are you doing? You look crazy. But I fucking loved it. And I went to bed that night thinking about skateboarding. Like, when tomorrow, between my PTA and my volunteering and my drop off and pickup, when can I get outside and skateboard? And I'm like, this is how children must feel when they fall in love with something, you know, like physical like this. So the next day, I don't have any kids. They're at school. There's no neighbors around. And I start skateboarding. And it was so fun. So then Lance gets home from work and I tell him, like, you're never going to believe it, but I'm kind of good at skateboarding
now. I'm a skater chick now.
Yeah. And he's like, I don't believe it. You're like the clumsiest person I know. And I was like, watch me. Come watch me then. I'll show you. I'm so good at this. So while the kids are at school, I get out the skateboard that I now have 2 days of experience on. And I go maybe like two house lengths in front of my husband before I fall backwards off the skateboard. It goes flying and I bust my butt on top of my ankle. Like, I fall like with my ankle underneath me. And I had jeans on, but, you know, it didn't matter. So my ankle, my left ankle, has this like ridiculous. This was over a week and a half ago now. I'm still dealing with this crazy looking wound and scab, and it looks horrible, and I can't wear shoes or socks or anything that like rubs up against it. I'm like living in yoga pants, like the baggy kind, and it's so gross looking. I mean, I would send you a picture, but for those of you listening, it's like a ribeye.
Ew.
It's so gross looking, and I can't believe it hasn't healed yet, and I don't know when it's going to, but I've never had an ouchie like this before. And I volunteered at Joey's school yesterday, and some second graders saw it. And one kid was like, ew, that's gross. And I go, yeah, that's what happens when you skateboard.
Did you get back on? Is like riding a bike? Or are you not going to do it anymore?
I thought right afterwards, like, well, that's the end of my skateboarding days. It's over. But now that it's like starting to heal, and we still have our neighbor's skateboard in our garage, and like Tom, the youngest son, is still pretty into it, I am kind of thinking, like, as soon as this isn't like an open wound anymore, I have to teach them the lesson. Yeah. Right, you fall and you bust your ass, but then you get back on. So yeah, it's pretty gnarly. And over the weekend I was at a friend's wedding, and I was wearing like a short dress and little booties that kind of didn't touch the wound, and I was like, heels are just not the same when you've got this gross, it's just like so stupid.
It's kind of cool though. You're like, dude, what'd you do? I fell off a skateboard. I was skating. It's kind, you know,
that maybe is like the only cool part. Like, I'm gonna cling to that. I had like a 3-day love affair with the skateboard. Yeah. And now it's like temporarily over, and we'll find our way back.
You will get back on. You'll jump back on it.
I'll add that to my list.
Are you leading by example? Are you wearing pads on your knees and elbows and friggin' wrists?
No, I don't have any of that.
And a helmet?
We don't have a skateboard. The kids do wear a helmet, but that's all we have. I don't know. I'm probably, this will be the worst fall because I'm the tallest and like clumsiest. The kids fall closer to the ground.
It doesn't matter, dude. Okay. The last thing you want is to have, you know, be taking Tommy in for a broken wrist. Like, that'll suck. And, you know, I heard a very good saying the other day. Kids don't have they don't easily do what you say, but they mimic what you do. Mm. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. So there's a piece of knowledge just dropped on you.
Mom.
Think about that.
Yeah. So that was one thing we needed to catch up on, is like my physical health over here. I have my leg like propped up right now, because I can't sit on my knees like I usually do when I record.
Oh, Lord. That sucks. I'm sorry.
Anyways, in that time, you did what? So, 2 weddings back to back and a third one right afterwards?
From a Saturday to a Saturday. So 1 week, I did 3 weddings.
That's cuckoo.
It is a little cuckoo. And
you don't have like a team. I mean, you have assistants, but you don't have a team to delegate. Like,
no, I don't have
this,
like,
is like a one woman show.
You know, back in the day when you were like working with me and like doing all the administrative shit, I was actually thinking like, oh God, I wish I had somebody right now. I mean, the month before those weddings, seriously, like nobody heard from me other than my clients.
Yeah.
You know, like it was it was crazy. But and you guys listening, I very, 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 very rarely do more than one wedding a weekend because I want to give, you know, that couple my full attention. You know, it's very difficult. But that one weekend, like one was on a Saturday, one was on a Sunday. They were both in the Bay Area. I couldn't show up until 4 o'clock in the afternoon to the Sunday wedding. Like literally no vendors were allowed to come out to the venue until 4 o'clock. So I made an exception and they both went off amazing. I mean, you know, I was patting myself on the back. I was patting the couple on the back. Like we did amazing. But let me tell you, I can't remember the last time I've been so physically or emotionally exhausted.
And your feet must hurt so bad.
Well,
after that.
I wore flats. I bought myself a pair of flats. They're super cute from Everlane. These really cute flat loafers. My feet were fine, but my body hurt. My shins hurt. Like I was just like, damn, it was tough.
You know, I've never tracked my steps during a wedding. I always say that I should, but if you hire a wedding planner and she, you know, day of, month of, whatever, somebody there to fully run the show on the day of, in my experience, that's 10 hours on my feet.
Yep.
Minimum with maybe if I'm lucky, 20 minutes to sit down, like after 8 of those hours, like right after dinner.
And you know how it is. You don't want to sit down too long because then you never want to get up. So I really rarely sit. I make myself stand the whole time.
So that's a wedding planner who's worth her money right there, is knowing that we're on our feet, we're moving around, we're making sure that everything on the property is happening the way that it's supposed to. So you cover a lot of ground.
Yeah.
But it's also because you're constantly checking in with your clients.
The couple,
and then checking in with the DJ and the captain of catering.
And just
so there's
watching,
a lot of like
just
crossing the room.
Yeah. But something crazy happened. For the first time ever, we had wedding crashers.
Was it at a hotel?
Yes. Have you ever had wedding crashers?
Yes, I've never had like more than like one couple that meanders in and pretends that they're lost.
Oh no, this was like I've been doing this almost 16 years. Never had wedding crashers. It was at the Fairmont Hotel in San Jose, and there was like beautiful venue. You know, they were amazing.
Yeah,
but you know, it's like it's a huge property. It's a convention hotel as well. There were I think 3 other weddings going on that day.
Ooh.
Which didn't really affect us at all. You know, you didn't hear it. You didn't, other than the
those
fact.
Those venues are like a machine.
They're a machine, a well-oiled machine. So it's like, I don't know, like 9:30. And there was also this like dance competition going on in the area of Indian dancers. So there was like, I don't know how many young people who were beautifully decked out that day, that morning, and having this dance competition. I'd run into them in the elevator and we'd chat about it. So I think these guys were from that because they were younger. And
all, like young 20s or like teenagers?
No, like young 20s. And so the banquet captain comes to me. It was probably about 9 o'clock, 9:15. Like cake cutting had already happened. Like we were well into dancing. And he's like, hey, do you recognize these guys? and so these guys come in and I'm like, had not seen them at all day. And I said, I don't think they belong here. Like they don't look like any of the guests that I've seen for the past 8 hours, right? 6 hours. So the banquet cap, they went straight to the bar. Well, little did they know that bar was not a full bar. It was beer, wine, and you had to pay for your cocktails, right? So the banquet captain gently goes up to them like, hey, guys, come on. You know, you're not supposed to be here. And 2 of them were like, oh, like laughing it off, like, all right, fine. And they like walked out, right? And I was like, oh, my God. Next thing I know, this other banquet person who was working the little cash register area at the bar was like having to get strong, you know, like he wasn't yelling, but he was like having to tell this guy, hey, you have to leave. And the guy was clearly inebriated. The guy was hammered, okay? And he's like, you got to go. This is a wedding. Like, don't be disrespectful. Like, you need to leave. And he wouldn't leave. This other, the woman who was my convention services manager, like, was on the radio calling security. And I walk back there, and I'm looking at the couple who are far away. They're not seeing this.
That's good.
And I know. And so finally we get him to the door of the ballroom, and he finally walks out to the front, and he's like, you know, getting in this guy's face. It was a huge deal. And then he starts talking to the guy and, you know, throwing out all these accusations that were just ridiculous.
To the security guy?
Not even to the security guy, to the guy who was like helping us get him out, who was working the bar. And this was, okay. You know, I would say this man was in his early 60s.
But you
60s.
Were positive he was not a guest.
Oh, absolutely positive. And positive, the guy even positive. Said okay. He's not a guest. He knew he wasn't a guest. Okay. And he made, I went, oh my, I got so mad. I walked up to him and I said, and this is outside of the ballroom. And I said, this is ridiculous. You're being disrespectful. You just crashed a wedding, dude. Get out. Go. And he like looks down at me because, of course, you know me. I'm not even 5 feet tall for those listening. And I'm wearing flat shoes. And he looks down at me and goes, that's besides the fact. I'm like, no, you're being disrespectful. So then it was just ridiculous.
And ridiculous and embarrassing.
It was embarrassing. And I was just like, don't yell at this dude. So anyway, it was. But then I was like, I can't believe this just happened. Like, we had wedding crashers. I've never had wedding crashers.
Belligerent, drunk wedding crashers. There's a first.
Yeah. So that was.
Well, congratulations for handling it. And
yeah. Well, I didn't have to do much. I mean, the staff at the Fairmont San Jose were insanely professional, so accommodating, so wonderful. The couple never even heard about it until I told them later. They didn't even know it was happening. So it was handled very, very well. Very well.
So, very good. Well, that sounds exciting.
It was exciting. Yeah. So
3 weddings in a week.
Yeah.
And now you're done. Are you done for the year
now? No, I have one more in November.
Okay.
But I am. Killing I can it. Take a breath. Like I can, you know, do other things.
Yeah.
So. So what was this? You went fleeing from where?
Well, okay. So this, there's just a, like you mentioned you were in Northern California for these weddings.
Yeah.
And as we are recording this, Northern California is like, you know, north of San Francisco is just on fire right now.
It's so
devastating.
Sad.
There's so several scary. Wineries and venues up there. Whole hotels have burned to the ground.
Yeah.
I worked at a couple, like I worked at Kunde Winery or Kunde Winery. Uh-huh. Estate, and I think it's okay, but some of the property was damaged, but it's in the middle of just this valley where the fires were just rampant. I mean, people, I feel like I'm 6 degrees away from half of my friends that live in the Bay Area. Aren't you seeing on Facebook like all your friends being like, we know people and my friends and this family and my mom? And
well, yeah, and people who live in that area, a lot of wedding vendors who live in Napa, Sonoma area. Santa Rosa, holy crap. I mean,
Rohnert Park, they have warehouses. The La Tavola warehouse is in Napa. I don't know if it's okay or not, but I know they had to stop all deliveries for linens. I mean, weddings are obviously affected.
Yeah.
And I went to a very small wedding in New Orleans recently, and as we're doing this little wedding outside, it was like a not a justice of the peace, but a very, very small intimate ceremony. And there'll be something, maybe a bigger wedding later. But people in New Orleans are just out and about having a great time. But all the TVs and phone alerts that are coming in are saying, but, you know, hunker down. This tropical storm, Nate, is now a hurricane. It's headed straight for New Orleans. It'll make landfall Saturday sometime. And this, you know, this was a Friday that I was there. So my husband and I are like, okay, we're here for the weekend. We flew in. We weren't going to rent a car. We're staying at a nice hotel in the French Quarter. Are we going to be fine? Like, do they really mean the whole city is going to shut down? Or like, what really happens? Because everyone in New Orleans is out partying right now. Like, it's a normal Friday night.
Yeah.
And nobody seems to care at all what's happening. And long story short, we did end up opting to rent a car and forego a night there. And our plane tickets, we just canceled, and we drove all the way home. And probably until we reached Shreveport, which is like on the border of Texas and Louisiana, it was pouring rain the whole time. All these National Guard vehicles and like amphibious vehicles are coming on the freeway towards us to go to New Orleans.
Wow.
I don't think there was that bad of damage or any like newsworthy stuff actually that happened when it made landfall, but the whole city did close. There was a curfew.
Wow.
So even if we had stayed, we wouldn't have been able to eat or drink, which is all you do in New Orleans. So we left and we drove all the way home to Dallas, and it was like a 9-hour drive in an uncomfortable rental car, pouring rain. It was rough, but a lot of weddings in New Orleans were canceled that weekend, because how can you, even if it ends up being fine and the hurricane doesn't do that much damage, how can you expect your guests and your vendors to make it to a venue?
Right.
So even this little wedding I was at, they hired a photographer, and the photographer had a bigger wedding scheduled for Saturday. And she lives out there and has a car and drives to her weddings. And she said she had to email the couple herself and say, I can't be there tomorrow. This is a part of my contract. You know, it's a danger for me to drive and all my equipment, and my house might flood and I have to just be home. So she canceled her services, and I don't know if the wedding she was going to do went on or not, but I do know that a lot of plans have to get changed at the last minute, and it's safety first when it comes to
weddings
and employees and all of your guests. So on today's episode, now 20 minutes in, we wanted to talk a little bit about like what to do when natural disaster strikes, as it is in, you know, what looks like half of the country right now is dealing with some crisis
or
another.
It's crazy. There's so much going on. And our hearts go out to you if you're affected by this, or any of your family members or friends.
Yeah, or Vegas or Puerto Rico, or, you know,
it's just
half of Louisiana is like always in the danger zone. I mean, it's just a lot. And I'm in Texas, and what happened in Houston and with Hurricane Harvey, that's just an insane amount of devastation. It'll take years for some of those cities and towns to get back to normal.
Yeah.
But I was asked by a magazine here called Love Wins Texas, which is an LGBT wedding magazine, the only one, I believe, in the region. I've had weddings published by them, and I've written like short articles, and I have a good relationship with the editor, and he asked me to write an article about natural disasters and what couples should do.
Yeah.
Basically, and also report on how Harvey affected Houston and Galveston, Corpus Christi, Port Aransas. Those are all the main cities, because there's a ton of wedding venues and like a really big tourist
industry. It's wedding season.
Industry.
Like, this is happening all during wedding season.
It's wedding season, and it's finally like nice outside. I mean, October is when it starts to finally get like people fight for these dates.
Yeah.
You know, it made landfall in August, so that actually would count as like hurricane season. But it's so hit or miss, literally hit or miss, that people don't plan their weddings around hurricane season. I mean, this is Texas. We had tornadoes in December a couple years ago.
Yeah.
You don't plan around it. You just deal with it once it happens. So the biggest thing to know is that venues, for the most part, and the wedding industry in any region works together. And this is happening. We're seeing this in Northern California now, as you and I see all these calls for help. You know, other vendors step in to offer services or offer their venue or help with staff or deliveries. And just if you are dealing with, I mean, we'll go into some detail, but if you're dealing with any kind of natural disaster, try to remember that we're all in this together when it comes down to it. Whether it's a destination wedding or you live there, you, your guests, your wedding party, and all of the vendors that you've hired and all of the staff it takes to do a wedding, everyone's dealing with it. So be patient and compassionate and keep that kind of shading your whole experience of this. So that's my like giant advice. And if we get into the more specific advice, it has to do with the contracts that you sign.
Yep.
And every legitimate vendor is going to have something in their contract about that has the words act of God or natural disasters, or more legally, something called force majeure, which means when there is an act of God or a natural disaster and calls have to be made about canceling or rescheduling, that nobody is at fault.
Yeah.
And it essentially means that the venue or the vendors will do their absolute best to make the calls early for safety and convenience. And then also they will do their very best to accommodate the plans later,
mm-hmm,
with rescheduling somehow. Like, the best case scenario is you don't lose any money because your wedding planner that you hired and you paid a deposit for can still do your rescheduling date.
Right.
That's not always going to happen. It might not be possible. She might not still have that date available. Your cake baker might have already baked your cake and took a loss on those ingredients. But what force majeure means is that this act of God or act of war or natural disaster could not be
foreseen.
It could not be foreseen. Yeah. In any way that would have led to a different outcome.
Right.
And it kind of just means like, we'll do our best moving forward, but if we have to cancel, we have to cancel. And they're not going to just give you your money back. They're going to try and work with you to make other plans.
Yep.
But it also protects you. Because you might have to cancel, because if you're in Houston where there's a hurricane, but your wedding is in New York City and you can't get to New York City because everything is canceled and your house is underwater, you would have that same term in the contract that you signed with them.
Right.
So it's sort of a no fault term is how I understand it. And I'm no lawyer, but that's what you think, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So when you're dealing with it, like it's happened, there is a natural disaster, you have to make other plans, go back if you can at all and look through your contracts. This is also when if you did hire a wedding planner, big time to call your wedding planner.
Yep.
And hope that he or she can help you with all of the trickle down. Like, you have to make decisions. She'll call the vendors, do the best she can to get a hold of people and start the new planning process, or just put everything on hold because it's a fucking disaster and everyone's houses are underwater and we're scared and we're just trying to think about our safety, or we're, you know, fleeing an actual fire in our neighborhood.
Yeah.
So you're not going to get emails back right away. You might just get a text that's like, I'll handle it as soon as I can.
Yeah.
But there are priorities in these situations, of course, and safety for humans is the number one priority.
Absolutely. Above and beyond everything, anything.
Yeah,
else.
All items, anything else that you can lose. So that's the first thing to do, is like try to make the calls early. The call, when I say call, I mean like the decision whether you're going to cancel or not. Get in touch with as many vendors as you can and start the process of rescheduling. Or say, I'll hit you up in 3 weeks and we'll talk about rescheduling then.
When people are hiring their vendors, especially now going forward, you want to look for a force majeure clause, right?
Yes.
And how that protects you as well as the person hiring them for their services, right? So what happens if there's a hurricane? What happens if there's a flood and we have to cancel the wedding? You know, obviously, it's very acceptable to say, listen, they're going to keep your deposit. They're not going to pay that back. But do they have perhaps somewhere in their contract something stating, you know what, we'll try every way possible to reschedule this wedding. And if it's within, you know, 6 months of the original date and that vendor isn't hired already for another event, then that vendor will make themselves available for your event.
Yeah.
Right. And so you want to really read that, because that's something that most people read over. They're like, act of God. There's not going to happen.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
We're living in this crazy time where there's stuff happening simultaneously all over the world.
Yeah.
Our country, very
coast
close
to coast
many of
disasters.
Your homes. So let's start paying attention to this stuff.
Yeah. So it's about accommodations. And likely it will say that no deposit in the case of, you know, if force majeure is evoked, or in the case of an act of God or natural disaster, deposits will not be returned, or they will be retained by the business. But also in that line item, it should have something about future accommodations.
Yep.
And if it's a service like a planner or a photographer, and I pull those out because we don't have tangible, we don't have flowers that are going to die in our refrigerator, yeah, or a cake that's going to go bad. We don't have a product like that that has an expiration date. Then we might say, like, in this case, all money will be returned and we'll go from there.
Mm-hmm.
Like the photographer that I mentioned that canceled on the clients for the next wedding because she couldn't get out to their wedding.
Mm-hmm.
She included it with a Venmo transfer of their retainer back.
Oh, wow.
It doesn't solve the problem if they still have their wedding. Now they have no photographer and it's probably a huge bummer and inconvenience, but she's contractually allowed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was researching with these, I called a lot of Houston vendors and emailed back and forth with some bakers and florists, and they had, some of them had absolute devastating damage to their own homes in the midst of dealing with all of this,
man.
But they all talked about what an amazing community the Houston area is for vendors taking care of each other and trying to help. And they also talked about the few, they both had like one or two weddings that were canceled. The decision was made to just cancel them entirely.
Yeah.
And that, the first thing they mentioned about it was like how heartbroken they were for the bride. And it was, you know, it was like the right decision and they understood that. And it would have been hard for them to make it happen, but it was her call ultimately. And the bride canceled it. And for the baker, she said they hadn't actually made the cake yet.
Mm-hmm.
They had done a bunch of sugar flowers that could be frozen. She's like, so we'll literally freeze those in like wax sealant until her wedding, it, you know, whenever she schedules it, those will be fine.
Yeah.
But the florist was like, she said, I hadn't even like gone over the numbers yet, but most likely we're going to take a loss on this one, but it's the least we can do. I mean, this bride just canceled everything. She's devastated.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, remembering that these people are human. And like Michelle and I have mentioned before, people are not in the wedding industry because it's a big money maker. We're in it because we love what we do. And we love working with brides and grooms on this like most important day of your life. So there's something to that when you do have to deal with something personal or that's a crisis like this, you're for the most part going to be dealing with a pretty compassionate person, you know, maybe more so than like, I don't know, a chain grocery store or something, you know, somebody that doesn't have this like personal stake in
big
your
business
event. Yeah. These are not big businesses. We're sole proprietors. We're small businesses. And so you're going to get a little bit of wiggle room just out of the kindness of people's hearts. I think that's a fair statement for the wedding industry.
I think so, too. And hey, in this article, you mentioned something else that couples can do to ensure if there is a natural disaster.
Yeah. And I think this is huge because this you have to do months ahead of time, just like any other insurance. You can't get your house, you know, flood insured if there's already a flood in your house. So there's two main types of wedding insurance. There's liability insurance, which most venues in this day and age require you to provide. You can do it through your homeowner's insurance, or you can do it through this really easy website, either WedSafe or WedSure.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the two main ones. And they go through bigger insurance companies, but this is their wedding branch. And I'll put those links in the show notes. So those are the two that you're going to have to look up and pay for this liability insurance if you're getting married at a big venue. It costs like $100 and you insure against like one of your guests getting drunk and tripping at this barn venue and breaking their nose. You're basically saying like they're not going to sue this barn venue now, or they're not going to get any money if they did because your wedding is insured. But that's liability. That is not the same as cancellation insurance, which is the additional type of insurance that you're going to want to get to protect yourself in these cases.
Yeah.
Natural disasters, acts of God, or acts of war, anything that you have to cancel your wedding for, a health crisis. Cancellation insurance, which is about $95, you know, for their basic package, will cover that. And it means that the insurance company will work on your behalf to get your deposits back from vendors in the event that you cancel. And if they can't, they will pay out your deposits back. They also cover things like if your wedding dress is in a closet that gets flooded and it gets damaged. They'll cover things like that, property damage. And this is not something we love to talk about, but it's also in the event that the bride or groom just says, to hell with this, I don't want to get married to you anymore. It's cancellation insurance. It insures you against, you know, money lost in the event that you cancel your wedding.
Yeah, this is very smart, and it's not expensive. I mean, it's really great peace of mind.
It's definitely not so expensive that you can argue about the price and that's why you didn't get it.
Yeah.
Because if you're dealing with losing all of your deposits and losing all the money that you already spent on your wedding in order to cancel or reschedule, $100 is nothing, you know, 6 months out when you're writing checks for your DJ, your florist, your cake baker, and your rentals. Just consider this one more part of your venue expense.
I would also recommend looking into, if you own a home and you have homeowners insurance or even some renter's insurance, calling your agent and asking if you have the option to put a one-day insurance on an event. Some homeowners insurance have this extra service where you can have an event, even if it's not in your home, and have at least the liability insurance for your wedding day.
Up to $1 million.
Yeah, up to $1 million. Yep. Uh-huh.
And a lot of people do that instead of, they do the liability insurance through the homeowners instead of doing it online at WedSure or WedSafe.
But I don't know about the natural disaster part of it. That's definitely a question for your insurance agency provider.
Yeah, and that would be different than you would be. So liability and cancellation are two different things that you're insuring against.
Yes.
So no matter where you do it, you're going to be paying for two packages, if you want to think about it that way. So all in, you can get both for less than $300 and make sure that you do it more than 2 months outside of your wedding date.
Yeah.
So 2 months or more before, to make sure that it's, you know, valid and in effect by your wedding day. And I strongly recommend this. I would definitely do it if I was planning my own wedding. And, you know, that's the biggest test for us. Like, would we trust it for ourselves? And my answer is yes. And right now, with the way things are happening so quick in the world, it has my stamp of approval. I do suggest you have both types of insurance for your wedding.
It has the Big Wedding Planning Podcast stamp of approval, as you said on last week's Quick Focus. I liked that. That was good.
Yeah. So between reading your contracts before you sign them, reviewing your contracts if you're in the midst of a potential natural disaster and seeing what the protocol is, the wedding planner and the venue manager that you've been working with, those are going to be the two, I would say, key contact people throughout this process of a natural disaster. And then the third part of this is insurance. And you should do that well ahead of your wedding. So that pretty much covers everything I talked about in the article, right?
Yeah.
I'll link to the article as well, because it does have some specific stuff about Texas if you are listening in Texas.
Good stuff in there. Yeah. Well done, lady.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. All right, cool. Well, I guess that wraps it up. Next week, I'm hoping to have the episode with a bride and groom from their wedding day.
Behind the curtain.
Behind
with a microphone.
The veil. I don't know what we'll call that.
Something like that. We'll work
on that. It's really fun stuff. It was fun to do, so I'm excited about that. All right.
And we're working towards our 1 year anniversary.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. 1 year for the podcast. We're going to put together some cool stuff. I'm like combing through episodes and getting fun quotes that I think like really wrap up this podcast with a little bow in terms of what we're about. And we are going to have some cool guests in the next couple months just to round out 2017. Also, so the things are in the works, and you know, we've never missed a Wednesday. So even if we're both drowning and super busy, we will put out a quick focus or something for y'all, and we'd love to hear from you. So please hit us up on any of the social media, Twitter, podcast, or Twitter, Facebook. We both post on our own Instagrams. Mine is Christy Matthews Events, separated by underscores, and Michelle's is Allure Consulting, right? On Instagram?
Yes, at Allure Consulting. That is correct.
Yeah. So we put stuff about the podcast there too, but the best places for podcast info is going to be Facebook and Twitter at TBWP Podcast. And if you want to email us, it's thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com.
Yes.
We're here for you.
We're here for you. If you have a moment to rate and review us on iTunes, that's going to help get the word out about the show and let others know about it who need this show. And again, to all of those affected by all of these really horrific things going on, our heart goes out to you, your family, your families, your friends, and just lots of love out there to everyone. Stay safe.
Yes, weddings are just a day. What's important is people, so don't lose sight of that. All of our love, and we will talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Happy planning, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.